You're listening to Supercalifragilistic Awesome Disney Podcast. Each week, we're going to talk about three things. In Main Street USA, we'll talk about the latest Disney news.
Goblins and ghoulies from last Halloween. Awaken the spirits with your tambourine.
In Tomorrowland, we'll talk about the things we're looking forward to.
The guy is dead and he's trying to get with my wife. And the house isn't really for sale? Yes, I'm upset.
And World Showcase is dedicated to our favorite Disney adventures.
Oh, no, back. I'm not going back.
But Dad.
Hey, they got me floating all around the room.
Dad.
Hey, I was strapped to a chair floating around the room with a marching band chasing me. I'm not going back anywhere. Forget it, Casper.
So let's get this show on the road.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey, everybody. This is Chris.
And I'm Kelly.
Welcome to this week's show. We are obviously on location. We decided to shoot while we were taking a little trip down to Garden City Beach, South Carolina. It's beautiful here, but we thought since we're going to be shooting on location when we go to Disney in December,
give it a go.
We thought we'd give it a try and see how it works. So,
absolutely. And I'm enjoying the view.
It's a wonderful view. It's beautiful. You know what else is beautiful?
What?
Your, I guess, Mickey ears.
Let's call them Mickey ears. I got these at the Germany Pavilion in Epcot, and it's one of the, I think you were in that little bakery.
Yeah, I was getting the caramel.
The caramels, and I walked into that store, and I thought, I gotta buy this. And so I bought it, I put it on, and I like waved at you from outside the window of the bakery. It's one of my favorite moments. That's so perfect. That one wave was worth the purchase.
Well, then I'm glad you got them. I'm glad you're wearing them here.
Yeah.
It's October. You're feeling Oktoberfest.
October.
All right. Awesome.
Yes.
So where is it Wednesday? We yes. got no winter last week?
No winter. It was clearly a fantastic
It was
picture.
Good. It was good. I didn't know where it was.
Yeah. So for those of you interested, it was a photo that hangs on the wall above you as you are walking down the final ramp to get onto Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. So, winning.
You won.
I won.
So, be on the lookout for Where Is It Wednesday this week, and hopefully we'll get a winner. Misty Moon Silver, if you're listening. Hey, so, as always, we are so happy that you're listening, that you're taking the time to choose our podcast. That's a big deal to us. We love you for it. If you're in Tallahassee, Florida, we saw you downloading our stuff, and we are so thankful. Pontiac, Michigan, thank you so much. If you listen to us, we appreciate you. Arlington, Massachusetts, thank you. And Padua, Italy, which is right out. It's probably one of the last train stops before Venice.
Oh, nice.
That's cool.
Hello.
So thank you for listening. And
we would come and do something live and on location.
We'd do something live in Italy if you'd ask us. So thank you for that. If we called out your city, if we've ever called out your city and you hear us, let us know. Tag us in some kind of social media post, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. And we'll send you a sticker. We'd
absolutely.
Love to do that.
Yes, absolutely.
So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So some parks news this week. Disneyland is really having it out with California, with the state of California. They are back and forth like crazy. Bob Iger resigned from the Coronavirus Economic Task Force in California. There's strikes going on out there. They sent people into the parks. California sent representatives into the parks.
Okay, the state of California.
The state of California did, just to kind of see, you know, what the setup is like. Gavin Newsom, governor of California, he says he's going to send people to the Florida parks to see how it's going there.
Okay.
But obviously everybody's kind of desperate to get things going again out there. I got to say, though, Downtown Disney has been open since July, which is sort of Anaheim's version of Disney Springs.
Yeah.
And I can only assume that Downtown Disney is on Friday night the way Disney Springs is in Orlando.
Right.
And
crazy.
If they're keeping that open, I really don't know why they wouldn't open up Disneyland.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different kind of thing, but based on our experience, Disney Springs felt much iffier than the parks.
It did. I mean, I have seen some tweets and stuff this week that say people are getting a little pandemic fatigue in the parks. I mean, I know the parks have put up those signs that say, if you don't have on a mask, we'll kick you out, which I think is, you know, needed. But I just saw a tweet yesterday that said, like, one lap around World Showcase, the person counted 150 people not wearing masks.
I saw the same thing, and only one cast member said something to them.
Right. I mean, I think everybody's got pandemic fatigue. But look, y'all, I mean, this isn't the time. The numbers are going back up. Wear the mask. If you're going to be out in public, wear the mask.
Yep.
Just wear it. Yep. I mean,
we're lucky that any of the parks are open as it is.
Yes, so. 28,000 people have already lost their jobs. You know, if you want to go out into the parks and support this company that we all love, wear the mask. Take responsibility for you and those around you.
Yeah, totally agree. Disney Springs actually was at capacity on Friday night. They literally stopped people from coming in. So, like, if you had a dinner reservation for, say, 8:30 and they were at capacity by 8, you couldn't make that reservation, which
I did not know how that
yes,
works that way.
That's brutal. Yes.
Oh,
you don't
no.
even, you can't get into any of the parking facilities at all.
Wow.
So we've got a situation here where, like, a lot of our favorite things are colliding with each other.
Yeah.
I don't dislike Gavin Newsom. I love Disney. So I just hope that they all come together and work it out. Same thing with Elizabeth Warren. She has basically put Disney executives on blast in the last couple of weeks because they freed up the executive pay and bonus pay and dividend pay and all that kind of stuff just a few weeks before they laid off 28,000 people. So she didn't let that slide. So she wrote them a sternly worded letter.
Liz is for the working man. I hear you, Liz. You know,
yep,
I love Liz.
I know you do.
My love for Liz runs deep. I've got her action figure.
She said, it appears that prior to and during the pandemic, Disney took care of its top executives and shareholders and is now hanging its frontline workers out to dry. So, you know, not really going to argue either way, except to say that's a thing that's going on in the Disney world. And so, you know,
it's tough.
Again, it's a tough time for everybody.
Put on the mask.
2 weeks ago, or maybe last week, Disneyland did reach a return to work agreement with 11 unions that represents.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was taking a minute anyway,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, a little bit happier news. And sort of in line with your hat, new pop-up Disney, pop-up pass holder shop in Germany.
Yes, I saw that, and I'm telling you, I want to drive to Disney.
My only note here is that, only two notes, is that it closes on November 17th, and we must figure out a way to get there.
I mean, it had some good stuff, and so this is stuff that's like 50% off, and then you get annual pass holder of another 30% off.
Right, so
it's in the Germany Pavilion.
Yeah.
So they had some, like, Germany stuff, but they had a lot of annual pass holder merch. They had a lot of flower and garden merch.
I'm hoping that this is a sign of things to come, where they may put up these pop-up pass holder tents in or shops in various pavilions at World Showcase. I'd love to see that.
I'm thinking about driving 7 hours.
I'd support you doing that. So, in entertainment news, Black Beauty, a remake of Black Beauty, is coming to Disney Plus on November the 27th. So, you know anything about Black Beauty?
It's a horse.
It's a horse, right. Not to be confused with the Black Stallion. But, so Black Beauty has had, like, this is, like, the seventh version of a Black Beauty movie that has been made based off of the 1877 novel by Anna Sewell, which was called Black Beauty, His Grooms and Companions, The Autobiography of a Horse. Think about that.
That's fantastic.
The autobiography of a horse, right?
The autobiography of a horse is written by a horse.
Right. The whole thing is told from the horse's perspective.
How many more times can we tell this story?
So this time they're changing the gender of Black Beauty. Black Beauty will be female in this one. And voiced by Kate Winslet.
Okay. So it's English.
I don't know if it's English. It's actually based in the American West. Black Beauty was born free in the American West, is captured and taken away from her family. Her story intertwines with that of 17-year-old Joe, who is similarly grieving the loss of her parents, and ultimately the two form a strong bond.
Okay. I mean, I'll watch it.
Sure.
It's a movie about a horse.
Yeah.
The horse dies. I will hate Disney forever.
You know, I don't know. I can't imagine.
I'm going to have to. I don't know the story. I don't watch movies where animals die.
I know you don't. Got a strong, strong opinion
so,
on that.
Somebody that watches Black Beauty, I'm not going to be watching on the day that comes out. I need to know the spoiler. Does the horse
If somebody could add SCF-ADP and tell us if Black Beauty dies. I mean, the story's been around for a minute, so somebody could probably tell us that now. We'd appreciate it.
Well, but if they update the story.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah. Change it to a woman. They're probably going to kill it off.
I mean, Disney killed off old Yeller, so.
Loves to kill a woman.
That's all I got. That's all I got for the news. Now that the horse is female.
Clearly feeling boats here at the beach a little bit, okay? All right, well, I have a trivia question for you.
All right, good deal.
Okay, so you're negative 300 right now, if I'm counting correctly. Okay.
Killing it.
So, the sorcerer's name in Fantasia spells what backwards? I really thought you would know this one.
I have no clue.
Do you know the sorcerer's name?
I don't even
name
know
in
the
Fantasia?
Sorcerer's name in Fantasia.
Okay. Well, apparently the sorcerer's name in Fantasia is Yensu.
Oh, that's Disney.
Yes. you know, I'm not giving you credit for that one.
Okay. Not even half credit.
I had to tell you the sorcerer's name.
Well, that's... I feel like they could have done better than that. But, okay.
I feel like you've been done better than that. You're negative 400 now.
Okay.
At all.
All right, so you ready for Tomorrowland?
Take us to Tomorrowland.
All right, so I sort of struggled with what I was going to do for Tomorrowland on location here, but it hit me that I was sort of inspired by our walk on the beach a couple nights ago. And so I decided to do Tomorrowland on some place we talked about going but haven't been there yet, Vero Beach Resort, Disney's Vero Beach Resort.
Well done, honey.
Okay.
Yes, tell me about that, because we actually had reservations.
We did. We had reservations there back in the summer, and we decided we just needed a little more Disney punch in our lives, so we changed it to actually go to Disney. We wanted to experience Disney with record low crowds.
Yes.
So we moved away from that, but it's still definitely on the bucket list.
It is. I definitely want to go. And I want to go to the Hilton Head Resort, too. But tell me about Vero Beach.
Yeah. So I got the information for this from Disney's website on Vero Beach, as well as a wonderful review from WDWinfo.com. So thank you guys for a wonderful review there. So so here you go. Vero Beach opened in 1995. It's got 211 rooms. Okay, so think about, like, say, Pop Century Resort, which has, like, over 2,000 rooms.
I was going to say, that's not very big.
Exactly. And I think that's exactly what Vero Beach is going for. It's quiet. It's secluded. It's never going to be, like, totally chock-a-block full of people.
Okay.
Okay? So.
I'm for that.
Yeah. It was only the second DVC resort built, although I don't think you need to be DVC to rent a room there. And I think Florida residents get a big discount. I think they get, like, 20 or 30% off to rent a room there. But it was the second DVC resort built, and I believe the very first one built off of a Walt Disney World property.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
It was built before or after Hilton Head?
That's a good question. I'm before. I'm assuming it's the first one built off of Disney property.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Right, so okay. It was before Hilton Head.
Okay.
So if you're familiar with the Beach Club Resort at Disney, sort of imagine that you're stepping into that resort. And instead of, like, a sand bottom pool and Crescent Lake out back, you actually have a strip of, you know, white sand and the Atlantic Ocean. Mm. It's actually on what they call Florida's Treasure Coast. I'll talk about that in a little bit, okay. Right? So while it is removed from Disney proper, it's going to feel very much Disney, right? You're gonna have that comforting Disney music in the air when you step into the lobby. There's going to be hidden Mickeys all over the place,
right?
And somewhere, without a doubt, in the lobby, there's going to be a TV showing Disney cartoons for little kids to sit at while mom and dad are checking in, right? The way this place is sort of laid out, by the way, I almost gave up what I was talking about when I was talking about A1A today.
Oh.
Famous Florida's A1A.
Beachfront Avenue.
Right. It literally goes right by the front door of this place. In fact, this place spans both sides of A1A. There's a tunnel that goes from the main part of the resort on beach side of A1A, under A1A, to like some tennis courts and basketball courts and things like that okay. that are all part of the resort. So effectively, there's one large building that's the inn, and that's where you're going to have most of the studio apartments and the restaurants, and there's an upstairs bar, the check-in, and there's a general store there that's all very centrally located around the inn. The big pool is outside of the inn. It's a wonderful looking pool area with a 163-foot, two-story spiral slide.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool.
For 200 rooms, that's a significant pool.
It is. And they say it's Mickey-shaped, although I argue with that. I'm not so sure that it's Mickey on a bad day, maybe, in shape. But it's right. The pool is beachside. It's beautiful. Okay. And they also have these four or five villa buildings that house their one- and two-bedroom villas.
Okay, which is where we had reservations.
That's where we were planning to stay, was in one of the one-bedroom villas. And then they have half a dozen three-bedroom, two-story cottages that are right on the beach.
Oh, wow.
They sleep like 12 people in those things. That would be beautiful to stay in one of those cottages.
I mean, that would be like almost as nice as the bungalows in the Poly.
Very much so. Yeah. And so the deal is, all these rooms are sort of spread out, but you can walk from one end of the resort to the other in 5 minutes. It's not a, you're always just a minute or two from the beach. You're just a minute or two from the pool, from a restaurant. It seems really, really nice and secluded and quiet.
And they have restaurants, you said, in the inn. So they have restaurants on property.
They have restaurants. Well, they have a restaurant really on property. Everything is now called, they've renamed all these things over the years, but right now it's called Wind and Waves. So they've got a Wind and Waves restaurant or Wind and Waves grill that does breakfast and dinner table service.
Okay.
And then they have the Wind and Waves market where you can get sandwiches and salads and burgers and things like that, probably at lunchtime.
Okay.
Then they have the Wind and Waves bar, which is a poolside bar where you get creative cocktails and things out there, probably some snacks too.
Okay.
And then you got the Green Cabin Room, which is on the second floor of the inn. And this is a place for specialty cocktails and decadent desserts.
Yeah, it is.
And it's sort of, I get the impression that it's kind of open air and it overlooks the beach.
Okay.
Right? So.
Sounds fantastic.
So yeah, so that's nice. And like I said, this is all on a stretch of sand on the Treasure Coast. So here is what the Florida describes the Treasure Coast. The story of the Treasure Coast began over 300 years ago when a fleet of 11 Spanish ships wrecked offshore between the St. Lucie River and Cape Canaveral. These ships were set to collect new wealth from the American possessions of the Spanish Empire and bring it to Spain. On their way back, this treasure-carrying fleet was sunk by the winds of a hurricane, scattering the gold and silver jewels all over the seafloor. To this day, these treasures can sometimes still be found washed up on the shores by lucky beachgoers, giving the region its deserved name.
I mean, that sounds an awful lot like the intro to the movie Fool's Gold.
It does. I thought the same thing. So if you've ever seen Fool's Gold, that's basically what they're searching for.
Like, as you're reading that, I'm like, huh.
Is this real or is this the intro to a movie?
Is this Fool's Gold? Because I thought Fool's Gold was in the Bahamas. It's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah. So, look, this is a place for relaxation, but there's plenty of activities. I told you there's the supposedly Mickey-shaped pool with a two-story slide. There's a water play area they call the Tiger Lily water play area.
Okay.
There's a little mini golf, like a 9-hole mini golf facility right there on the property.
Cute.
There's a whirlpool spa. There's they have catamarans and kayaks and jet skis to rent on the beach.
Nice.
And boogie boards. It sits really, really close to one of the Western Hemisphere's most prolific turtle nesting spots.
Oh.
Yeah. So there are three different species of turtles that nest there: loggerheads, green turtles, and leatherback turtles.
Oh.
And that's a really big deal at Vero Beach. They do they do these outings to see the turtle nesting areas, and every year they've sort of had this big event where all the turtles sort of make their way to the ocean. You know,
aww,
we've all seen those videos of baby turtles sort of making their way to the ocean.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so, well, no, I mean, you're selling me. I know.
That
you
part.
Knew the turtle thing would put me over
I know. We're big on turtles.
I love a turtle.
They also have an amazing spa there. And we know that Disney can do a spa.
That's great with 200 rooms. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I know. So you're not gonna, you know, you're not gonna be overly crowded there at the spa.
This is meant to be a relaxation place for sure.
Totally right. They have Swedish hot stone aromatherapies, lots of different spas, facials. They'll do a head, neck, and shoulders massage on the balcony of your room. I know. I knew that would get you. But let me ask you, though.
I mean, come on. A head, neck, and shoulders massage on the balcony of my room, and then I get to go down and see the little baby turtles go out to the ocean?
That's exactly how it works. Have you ever heard of Vichy water treatment?
I don't think so.
So you're lying on a massage table.
Hang on. Let me get there.
All right. Get there. Feel it.
Okay.
Get in the moment. You're lying on a massage table, and you're treated to a warm downpour of water, massaging your body from 7 shower heads.
Oh, wow.
Your skin is treated with cleansing and nourishing products. Here's their signature Vichy shower treatment. Customized with your choice of sugar scrubs or hydrating body masks.
Now, you said I'm on the massage table.
Uh-huh.
So, essentially, there's a massage therapist in the shower with me.
That's what it seems like. I know. I know. That took a creepy factor, but sort of exciting. Select from coconut, pineapple, mango, or orange blossom for your exfoliation, followed by a nourishing oil and warm honey wrap. Complete your experience with the application of body lotion of your choice. Look, the...
You know, I'd give it a go. I want to do the head, neck, and shoulders thing with the turtles first.
Yeah, so here's my... The bottom line here is that this place is just built to relax. This is not your hustle and bustle.
No.
This is not your hustle and bustle vacation.
Yes.
This is truly meant to sit back and relax.
I'm for it.
You can walk. You're within 2 minutes of everything you might want to enjoy, whether it's the beach or a drink at this resort.
And Vero Beach is open right now, right?
And Vero Beach is open. They're doing some refurbing until mid-November. They're doing some refurbing of the pool area, but it's open. So I think a perfect day at this place would be to grab a nice breakfast on the balcony, right? Have them bring you some breakfast, so you eat it on the balcony, followed by a mid-morning pampering at the spa, grab a sandwich on your way to an afternoon on the beach, a quiet dinner for two at the Wind and Wave restaurant, and finally, some s'mores by the campfire, which they do 4 times a week while they tell stories.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, no, that's meant for relaxation. Yeah. I get it. I'm for it.
Yeah, I think we definitely need a long weekend at Vero Beach.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Okay.
I'm with you. That's not a place you go to go out and see a bunch of Florida. You're there.
Yeah, you're there just to relax in a wonderfully quiet, relaxing, non-crowded setting.
Yeah, I like it. I like where you went there. I mean, again, I'm going to keep it spooky, but I like where you went.
Okay. All right, keep it spooky right here on the beach. Hit us up with World Showcase.
Okay, World Showcase. I've been promising y'all that we're going to talk about Hocus Pocus. So, this is the week.
All right.
Now, you might say, Kelly, why did you have 2 intros in prior weeks in October with Hocus Pocus quotes, and then this week you used quotes from the Haunted Mansion in your intro?
I would ask that question.
But you're talking about Hocus Pocus. And I would say, well, that just shows my inability to plan ahead.
Okay. Fair enough. We're big on honesty here.
So, there you go. I did not do those intros that far in advance. I just did not plan ahead. But so, we're going to talk about 10 things that you didn't know about Hocus Pocus.
Well, that's a lot more than 10 for
me. Well, no. These are very interesting things. So now, for those of you that are Hocus Pocus fans and you've Googled this, first of all, these lists are numerous. Some of them are 38 things you didn't know about Hocus Pocus, 11 things you didn't know about Hocus Pocus. So I want to just say I picked the 10 that I found the most interesting and that I wanted to sort of talk about here. Okay? All right. So first of all, let's just sort of set the stage. It was released in 1993, and that's almost, I can't even say these words, 30 years ago.
I can't even believe that.
A book sequel was released in 2018. Can we just say 30 years ago, Hocus Pocus was released 30 years ago.
I'm so old.
The movie actually did not do well. This is our first fact. when it was released, probably because it was released in July instead of September and October during Halloween. So we're going to talk about not planning well.
Seriously.
Disney, I just want to say, you didn't set her up to win.
No, that was not set up well.
This is great, though. Entertainment Weekly was particularly put off by the movie, calling it a piece of corny slapstick trash. It's acceptable, scary, silly kid fodder that adults will find only mildly insulting, unless they're Bette Midler fans, in which case it's depressing as hell. Fantastic.
That is awesome.
Okay, so
I agree.
So a few other things. First of all, Rosie O'Donnell was offered the role of Mary Sanderson. Now, this is the sister that Kathy Najimy plays.
Okay.
And I want to say, Kathy Najimy was totally the way to go there.
Yeah, it was.
I'm a huge fan of Kathy Najimy. But Rosie O'Donnell was offered the part. She didn't take it because she felt uneasy about playing a character who kills children.
Well, I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, that was 1993 Rosie O'Donnell.
I don't blame her for
that. Not suggesting that Rosie O'Donnell has since killed children. The world has evolved. I don't know the same choices that we made today. Number two, during filming, Midler actually had two people running around behind her with dictionaries of old curse words. Can I just say, I want that so bad in 2020.
All right. I need to, my list of Christmas gifts for you needs to be a dictionary of old curse words.
No. I want two people running behind me with a dictionary of old curse words so that when I run out of the proper vocabulary for whatever day it might be in 2020, I need an old curse word. Right? Like, yes. I love that so much. But you can get me a dictionary as well. Okay. And then maybe occasionally you run behind me with the dictionary just shouting old curse words.
I do that, but for a totally different reason. I do that already.
In many countries, Hocus Pocus, the movie, is called Abracadabra. Huh. Now, can I just say, am I the only person that when you hear the word abracadabra, you immediately go,
Abra, abracadabra. I'm going to reach out and grab you.
So I could not, I don't want it to be called abracadabra.
Okay.
I need it to be called Hocus Pocus because otherwise I'd sing through the entire thing. So here's the creepiest fact, okay? Doug Jones played Billy Butcherson.
Okay.
Okay? Those were real moths flying out of Billy Butcherson's mouth.
Yuck.
After he cut his stitches open.
Yikes. That is commitment, man.
They used a dental dam-like device to keep them from going down his throat. Chris and I love to play this game where we say, how much would it take for you to do that? So how much? How much would somebody have to pay you to put a dental dam device in your mouth and let live moths fly out of it?
A better question. It would only take about $5,000.
No, money. Yeah.
But before 2019, it would have taken about $50,000.
Billy also changed, he got to write, sort of like change his monologue a little bit, and he was supposed to call Winifred Sanderson a bitch.
Oh.
But he changed it to say wench because he thought bitch was a little bit too harsh.
I like it when the actors.
Billy Butcherson was a great zombie, and that just shows, again, like another level of his zombie greatness.
Well, I think it's nice whenever when actors say, you know what, we're making this for kids, and I think that I can do better.
Let's call her a wench with these real moths flying out of my mouth.
Mm.
The cast took a trip to Salem before shooting, and this fell on the 300th anniversary of the Salem witch trials.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that
cool?
That's
a cool deal. Yeah.
That's really cool. Now, this is what makes that trip even cooler. Sarah Jessica Parker is actually related to a woman famously accused of being a witch in Salem. When the actress went on the show, Who Do You Think You Are, to trace her family history, Parker discovered that one of her ancestors was Esther Elwell, one of the women accused of being a witch during the Salem witch trials.
That's cool.
Esther was accused after a young girl said she saw Esther's specter strangling neighbor Mary Fitch. Elwell was arrested but escaped going to trial.
Wow, good for her.
I mean, that's a cool fact, right?
And you know what? Of course she was.
Right. Of course she was.
Sarah Jessica Parker is totally the descendant of a Salem witch.
You saying that like in a mean way?
No.
I like Sarah Jessica Parker.
But she's fine. I like her too.
She's married to Ferris Bueller.
Also, he likes to go by Matthew. Matthew Broderick is his real name.
Okay, whatever. I like Neil McGarry. I'm just going to start saying that. There were about 9 cats who played Thackeray Binks.
Oh.
You know why? Because cats cannot be trained
That's
properly.
Right.
Cats. And each one of them had a different skill, right? So you couldn't train one cat to do it all. You had a cat who knew how to swat, a cat who knew how to sleep. Right?
I would have totally believed it, though, if you'd said they had 9 cats that played Thackeray Binks because each cat kept getting sick of this and walking off.
Right? That's right. Okay, the last two. The choreography for how each witch rides her broom is important. It reflects their personality, but also their driving style. The choreographer that worked on the movie actually rode next to each woman to see how they drove. And she combined that along with their witch's personality. Right? So, like, Winifred is out in front. She's in charge. You know?
Sure, sure.
Riding with confidence.
Sure.
Right? Sarah Jessica Parker is always like, woo, you know? And
right.
So she's, like, just lifting her broom up into the air and, like, gliding off. And you got poor old Kathy and Jimmy.
Who's just trying to hang on.
Slinging a vacuum between her
oh,
legs.
Oh, right. I forgot she had a vacuum. So ridiculous.
And the cord is like, this is a fantastic movie. This is so great. Okay, so the very last fact, which you are going to be so excited about. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Disney Plus is reportedly developing a sequel to the beloved 1993 mm-hmm. Halloween film after Bette Midler told fans in a 2014 Reddit thread to go send in your cards to the Walt Disney Company.
Oh my gosh. I don't know that I'm super excited about it, but I can't believe that it's taken this long.
This is a movie that has like a true cult following.
That's true.
And it's one of those things that I think the popularity has built up over time, right? The Sanderson sisters are at the Not So Scary Halloween party, but it's only been in the last couple of years that Disney has sold Hocus Pocus merch in the parks and online.
So it was a late bloomer.
It was, let's call it a late bloomer. I think it's like a good wine that it has gotten better with age.
Okay.
Right. In 1993, what was it Entertainment Weekly called it? Maybe it was a piece of corny slapstick trash. But now in 2020, I got to tell you, I'm looking for corny slapstick trash.
That's fair.
I'm in the market for it.
That's fair.
And every year, right, it's like the Christmas movies. I watch Elf 1,000 times every year. That is corny slapstick trash. I love Elf. Don't at me. But it is corny and slapstick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's wearing tights.
Yeah. When he jumps into that tree, man, that just kills me.
So, I mean, I think maybe our culture has evolved to the point that we find corny slapstick trash to be enjoyable.
It's cathartic.
Maybe in 93 we were expecting a lot out of the movie, and in 2020 we're just not expecting
anything.
Corny slapstick.
We're expecting to make it through the movie.
Right.
I like it, man.
Bette
like
Midler
it.
Has also said before that it's one of her favorite movies that she ever made.
I'm sure it was a good time.
Oh, it had to be a good time, man. Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Buscemi.
Yeah.
Shoot, that is a good time waiting.
Already, yeah.
That is
already
a good time.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay.
Well, cool. So that's our show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. If you enjoyed it, please do us a favor. Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yes.
Go
on
out
YouTube,
to...
Here we are on the beach.
That's right. Go out to iTunes, leave us a rating, leave us a review. We would really appreciate that.
Yes, it totally helps. And if you're looking for more things Disney, please visit scfadp.com. That's scfadp.com. S for super, C for Cali, F for fragilistic, A for awesome, B for Disney, P for podcast.
And join us for the daily conversations on Twitter and Instagram at SCFADP.
Yes, we would love to hear from you.
And with that, we hope to see you real soon.